everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live right here on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel around the world with the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you in here. Got a great message. The prophecies of Daniel, USA. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's just like Daniel wrote in his book, and when he stated that it would be a time of trouble, well, the Christ reiterated the times of trouble when he spoke about Daniel's prophecies, and he said, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, know that the time is nigh. Well, we've got a lot of interesting scenarios coming down, especially this week. Well, we celebrated today all day a wonderful birthday, and it is near and dear to our heart. If you didn't know this, maybe I should pass this on to you so that next January the 19th, you might be inclined to help us celebrate this wonderful day of the birth of Robert Edward Lee. Robert E. Lee, born at Stratford, Virginia, on January the 19th in 1807. So, we're very thankful for this date in our past, in our heritage, and the things that we've got to look forward to, because, you know what? The South's going to do it again. We're going to take our country with the crossed hands of Jacob. You know what the Confederate flag that most people would have made to believe by the press that, and they almost took it down over the Capitol in the South. I think there's only maybe one or two still flying it with pride. And but anyway, the crossed hands of Jacob represent the 13 states united together. And of course we know that they wasn't united, that the crossed hands, that means war, trouble. Anytime you put a cross, it represents trouble. And one of the Christian symbols is the cross. We know it better as the tree, but it symbolizes that you cross out everything that is not like Yahweh. So we're going to get into some of the prophecies of Daniel. And in 9:24 through verse 26, Daniel predicted when an anointed one would be rejected. It's right in the Bible. Daniel foresaw that day. This is how anointed this great prophet was. And of all places, the anointing came right in the midst of the greatest trouble that the sons of Judah, it was the house of Judah that was in bondage up in Babylon. Now Babylon, the city that he was in, ironically, is in Babylon, Iraq, the old city of Babylon. Today, we know it as Baghdad, been renamed. Babylon was just right outside of the modern city of Baghdad, on the Euphrates River, and the Bible actually mentions a time of trouble in the Euphrates region. And of course we've had that trouble for the last 10 years, invaded it and conquered it, or at least we thought we did, when Mr. George Bush landed on the aircraft, the carrier, the deck, and the big banner proclaiming mission accomplished. It wasn't quite true. We're still there. We're still pinned down. We're still shedding blood in the sand that I predicted in 94 when George Senior went into and declared war on Iraq. Well, there's a reason that we're in there, and it's all in the predicting of Daniel the prophet. When you see the abomination, and we're going to talk about that extensively tonight, and we're also going to talk about the prophecy that Daniel foretold the destruction of the temple. I wonder if he ever prophesied about the destruction of our temple. You know where our temple's at? It's in Washington, D.C. And it's called the White House. Well, it's not exactly white anymore. A black man has done ascended through the throne, or will tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, Mr. Obama will ascend to the headship of our country. And so our temple is the White House. It is the place where our government operates. And, of course, the United States would have to be in prophecy. And we're going to explore some of the things it's got to say about the United States. And we're going to get into that in depth later on. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 32 through 33, Daniel made his awesome prediction of exactly how many kingdoms would arise in his time, from his time, because the Nebuchadnezzar was that first king. Daniel revealed that he was the kingdom that the angel showed Daniel up until the present kingdom, which is described, and then it ends, the fourth kingdom. Well, I hate to tell you this tonight, but we're in the fourth kingdom era of time. Now, Daniel was, like I said, he was a Judean from the house of Judah, and he was taken captive into Babylon around 2,700 years ago, give or take a few years. And there he arose to a high position in the Babylonian government, and Daniel saw what is described as the great world empires that were to come, and then he prophesied about the actual coming of the Ancient of Days. Oh, that's marvelous. I just love the book of Daniel. I've always been fascinated by Daniel and his ability to live in Babylon and to work in Babylon, by the way. We've got a lot of people working in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure that Washington, D.C. was much bigger than the empire of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom, and I'm sure we got a more powerful army. And I'm sure that our president has more clout than even Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar, remember, when he spoke, the men of his kingdom trembled. Except Daniel. Daniel wasn't altogether impressed with the Babylonian system. And he proved himself so valuable to the king of Babylon that a high position was given to Daniel after he proved himself. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to prove yourself before you can get a position or you can be accounted worthy. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so then, when the Creator brings about the final end-time kingdom. And lo and behold, 2,600 years later, we're in that fourth kingdom, and the United States is within the boundaries of, it may not be the actual kingdom that was spoken of. However, we know for a fact that the kingdoms that are existing are therefore a reason, and the United States of America being the most powerful, at least we think that she is, and she has been, but today she's become something that we're not too proud of. And everybody is basically hoping that Obama will bring a sense of honesty and responsibility and respect to other nations, because it looks like for the last, since World War II, we've become the big muscle man of the earth. We have driven our enemies to from the face of the earth. We literally have the power with the power of our military and the political clout that we have, and we affect nations worldwide. And even so today, as a borrowing nation, we went from a loaning nation, because I believe we got evil. And so Obama ran an ingenious, to me, a campaign of just saying that we needed change. Well, anybody could have said that. But are we going to get any change under Obama? What kind of change are we going to get? Well, is it in prophecy? Is Obama the abomination that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet? Have we come to an era of time when America must start paying for its sins? Because her sins undoubtedly have reached heaven, and we could cite a few examples. For instance, we are the most debtored nation. We went from the most prosperous, giving, caring, loving, sharing nation in the earth, and to one of the most hated. Obama realized that. And Obama's got a Muslim name, by the way, and it don't mean he's a Muslim, because tomorrow he's going to lay his hand on the Bible. Now listen to this. He's going to lay his hand right on the Bible that Abraham Lincoln laid his hand on. Now, we know that Mr. Obama will not cross his heart when the national anthem is played. I don't know what he's going to do up there. It's going to be interesting to see, if you're going to watch. Some people can't bear to see the things that are happening. But as it was in Daniel's day, it was a dark time for the house of Judah. Israel had done been dispersed and removed for their sins. And here, Judah, through transgressing also, just like Israel, the treacherous sister that is mentioned, so there was consequences. And there's going to be consequences coming very soon. And I do believe it will be on Obama's watch, and because people have, they're encouraged, they have hope, that we will put a chicken in everybody's pot, like Herbert Hoover promised when he ran and he was elected, and then the greatest depression that ever came upon the United States happened on Hoover's watch. And it was Roosevelt that came in and promised the end to that era of government, and he was going to put everybody to work. Well, that's what Mr. Obama, he's actually framing his government position on Roosevelt, who was, by the way, he was a Jew, and Mr. Lincoln, there is questions about his birth. There's actually a document in North Carolina that states that Mr. Lincoln was a son of a man that lived in North Carolina. And so there's a fuzzy picture here. Well, there's a fuzzy picture about Obama. We don't even know where he's a citizen lawfully of the United States. That's in doubt. It's going to be heard in the Supreme Court. They just agreed to hear this suit that's been brought. It's been dismissed and defeated in lower courts and things of this nature, but it's still an issue, just like it was under Lincoln. Isn't it strange? We'll go back to John F. Kennedy, and then we bring back in Lincoln. And there is just so much that you could bring about Lincoln's presidency, and it's familiar things that happened to him that happened to John F. Kennedy, and exactly 100 years apart. Well, here we have the 44th president of the United States of America. And for the first time, like I said, a black man. Actually, he's not black. He's a mulatto. He calls himself a mutt. His father was black from Kenya, and his mother was a Kansas girl. And his birth being questioned, whether it was in Kenya or Hawaii, where Obama's relationship from his mother's side was living. And so then, he has produced a birth certificate that said he was born in Hawaii, but that's questionable. And it's disputable. And that's what the court issues is all about. So, our nation right now is entering an era of Daniel's prophetic prophecies of the Fourth Kingdom age that will end the end of the Fourth Kingdom predicted. But before that happens, we're going to have to look at the worldwide impact that we're going to have through the prophecies of Daniel and some of the prophecies of David. Did you know that the Messiah was a perfect, if you will, example of David? Did you know that Joseph's prophecies mirror the image of our Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua in a flesh body? David was the first king to serve and to reign over Israel. Now, his lineage is questionable. Some say he was from the house of Judah, but that can't be proven in the scriptures. But we can prove that he was from the house of Joseph, making him a legal birthright man, and he lived approximately 3,000 years ago, or 1,000 years before Christ, and Daniel lived somewhere around 600 years before Christ. So these prophecies are dovetailing together for a reason, just as the Psalms 41 prophecy, David himself was betrayed by a friend, and David wrote a prayer asking for mercy in his last days. In his prayer, which you should acknowledge as being inspired by the Creator, David wrote about a betrayal at the hand of a close friend with whom he had shared bread. This foreshadowed something that happened years later with our Messiah. As explained in Matthew 26:47 through 50, the Messiah was betrayed by Judas, one of the 12 apostles. Well, that just happens to be 12 tribes of Israel. And the mystery of where they are at and who they're sharing bread with. Now, you're not to share bread with a stranger. You had to be circumcised. And you were not to let a stranger rule over you, according to the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28. You're not to have a stranger set over you. So are we, now that we're in these prophetic days, are we here in time in the prophetic, the fourth kingdom utterance of Daniel, which Daniel saw and wrote about, and we're going to conclude in Revelation 13. I believe that Daniel literally was the reincarnation of John the Revelator, who wrote later about the things that Daniel saw and wasn't allowed to write, and even some of the things in John's time, which was about 600 or 700 years after Daniel. Here we have John the Revelator writing a chapter about the prophetic events of the United States. It is the most perfect example, and it just happens to be in the 13th chapter, and I don't think it's a coincidence that there were 13 states original in the crossed hands of Jacob. And so then, the 13th chapter, I believe, represents the United States of America in prophecy. So many odd and peculiar and strange things have happened to our nation. Let's read. And John the Revelator said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Oh, now, that's an interesting word. A beast. Well, we find in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, that the beast that was back there had hands, and they could lift them up and swear, and they could pray. So then, here is a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Now, the abomination of desolation that's written when Daniel foresaw it, and Christ alluded to it, and he said, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, beware. I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, we know that from prophetic words of the hidden code that the sea represents people. So out of a great nation of people, one arose that the Bible described as a beast. And it took power. And oh, what power! We're going to read about it. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his seat and great authority. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is going to arise someone upon the earth that is going to speak like a dragon and is going to have great authority and great power, and all the world will admire and worship and pray for his success. We've got people today that's praying for America to succeed. They're praying for Obama and his cabinet. But if you'll look closely, ladies and gentlemen, just take a moment and put on your looking glasses and look at the change that Mr. Obama promised. Did he deliver? The first act that he did was to nominate his foe, and what does it say? Keep your friends closer, but your enemies closer. He nominated Miss Clinton. We've had 8 years of that family. We've had, oh my heavens, we've had 12 years of the Bush family. And now we're going to have 4 years of Obama, if it survives that long, is a question. But, man, I mean, all we're doing is rewinding the thing back to the Clinton era. Did you know that 2/3 of his appointments are Clinton appointees? that served in Clinton's cabinet? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's something going on here. We're not getting any change. We're getting the same old game, and these elite New World Order participants, old rats in the mill, as I would call them, are there embedded. They're not leaving. You may think there's a change. You may think that there's going to be a change. You may think that good times are coming. Because the times that were brought upon America were brought upon America for a reason. These things were planned by the globalist elite to bring us to the burden, placing so many debt burdens upon our back, that we have got trillions upon trillions upon trillions, somewhere in the neighborhood of $18 to $20 trillion just on the interest of the debt that we owe the international bankers. Now let me repeat that. And the figures are, it's not clear, but we do know of at least a $14 to $15 trillion, not billion now. I mean, the Congress has just authorized another $1 trillion of debt, and now Mr. Obama's coming in, and he's got another stimulus package in the works, ladies and gentlemen. Where's all this money coming from? Well, the question should be, where is it going, dude? We know where it's coming from. The Federal Reserve is printing this money and issuing, and of course the Federal Reserve needs the authorization of the Treasury Department of the United States of America to print this money. And once they print it, then the international bankers take the money that they created at our expense, by the way, and they're out nothing, and another $1 trillion of debt is added to the already staggering sum of debt. And one of the things that Christ alluded to in Matthew chapter 24 was great stress. He called it distress. And we're in stress now. We're coming to distress very shortly. This burden upon the back of the citizens of the United States, be they black, white, red, or whatever. If you're a taxpayer, you're stuck with this burden of this enormous debt load that will go for generations unless we change the system, ladies and gentlemen. Unless the system is changed, everything remains the same. And so Obama is not about change. He's about the same, because his appointees are from the CFR and the Illuminati and the New World Order. And they're running America just like they're running other nations. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, I fear Russia's going to do this, and I fear Russia won't do anything that the New World Order doesn't say for them to do. You say, well, but they're an independent. No, that ain't what the Bible says here. It says that the beast is going to rule with world power, and that all the world is going to wonder after the beast. And so then, there's no difference in nations. All the nations of the earth are hooked into the economy. They're share of the pot, if you will. In other words, to shut down a nation, all that the New World Order has to do is quit trading with you. Quit giving you credit. The United States, if they couldn't receive credit from the other nations or the international bankers' approval, we would shut down and be in a depression overnight. And we're almost there anyway. And I'm not so sure that that's not really what they've got in a master scheme, is to bring the greatest power and the most powerful people that built this country, it wasn't the Afro-American that built this country. This country was long in existence in the 1800s. It was already flourishing. It was already a mighty power before the African-American was ever brought here to America. Did you know that Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 13 says the people of Israel would return to their own land? Well, where's it at? Well, it just so happens in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, that Israel, which was removed from the sandbox, and they're fighting over there tonight, or have been for the last month, they've been fighting for years, since 1948, since this nation of Israel was carved out of the Balfour Declaration of the British Mandate that was given them and approved by the United Nations. Now, let's talk a little bit about the United Nations. What kind of a body is this? Well, it's a body of nations that speaks purposely with, and hopefully, with one voice. I mean, when they vote and all nations agree to it, then that's the way that the things go. But who controls the United Nations? Did you know that United Nations can't even pay their rent in America? They're into billions of dollars of debt just for their share of what it takes to operate the United Nations. And the United States actually gives the lion's share back to the United Nations for the United Nations to produce armies. Now they've got a United Nations a troop that they can deploy around the world. I don't know whether you know that or not, but one of the largest armies in America is not America's army, because America's army is abroad. We're scattered in Korea, the Korean Peninsula. We're scattered in Afghanistan, and Mr. Obama has done promise to increase the war in Afghanistan. Now, why would he want to do that? Because there's a need of the New World Order or the international bankers to form a pipeline to go across Afghanistan. That's what the war is all about there, to transport the oil that's going to come eventually into the coffers of the New World Order or the international bankers. These are the rich men, the elite, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and if you're in the know, you know all about that, and I don't have to go into that in detail to explain to you or write you a book or sing you a song about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in perilous times, brought to you courtesy of the New World Order. America is at its knees, and that's why in such a distressed place and time that it was engineered for the Antichrist. I'm not so sure, ladies and gentlemen, that Washington, D.C. is not filled with Antichrist. I'm talking about anti-messiahs, ones that really believe. You never hear them publicly proclaim his name. George Bush has been in the office for the last 8 years, and I have never at one time heard him proclaim the name of the Messiah. Oh, he gives reference to God. God bless America. Well, there's many gods. Which one, George? Which one, Bill Clinton? I never heard you personally give allegiance to the King of Kings, the one that rose from the dead. The New World Order don't believe that. There was a bunch of founding fathers that didn't believe that here in America. America was founded by men, although they founded a great document. It's been looked at, it's been addressed, and it's been amended. Until today, you wouldn't recognize it, and I'm sure that the majority of those who signed the Declaration of Independence didn't have it in mind when they saw this coming. I don't think they had that much foresight. But there was some men involved with the signing of it that absolutely knew what was going on and what America would eventually come to. Albert Pike, I've mentioned him several times in my discourses here, and to tell you about that, he knew that they was going to take three world wars. Well, we got one coming up, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you courtesy of the Beast. Well, we just happen to have a prophecy. I don't know how true it is. I don't put much trust in prophecies of someone else, and don't really trust my own, because you've got to prove everything. In this case, it's not proven yet, but we had a certain woman that lived in Ireland. She was arrested by the British Crown for espionage. They thought she was a German spy. When she reported and died, she died in 1956, by the way, and she reported that a black man will be elected president of the United States in 1956. It was published. There's a book at it right now about this prophecy. And in her amazing prophecies, she predicted that within 30 days after he was inaugurated, that'll be tomorrow, 30 days from tomorrow, she said that we'd be in a war. Well, heaven forbid. I hope not. And yet, we know that there has to come a war, because it's on their agenda. Mr. Albert Pike, writing on behalf of the New World Order, said it's going to take the three world wars and the removal of a certain people. They've got a certain people in mind. They're not interested in removing to someone that they can control. They're only interested in removing the objectors. Well, that brings up another question. How many prison camps do you think is that there was in Germany? Well, as a matter of fact, there wasn't any in Germany. Detention centers. The major detention centers that Germany had was in Poland and in Czechoslovakia. But we have the largest compound prison system. I'm talking about, I ain't talking about, well, we also have that too. We have the largest inmate population already in prison. I'm talking about prisons that are not, they're sitting empty. They're not filled. What are they waiting on? Do they know something? Is the largest army standing in America right now U.S. troops? No. Who are they? The United Nations. They have the largest contingent of troops in North America on our continent waiting for a time when they could be a time of trouble that the Messiah spoke about, or they could be civil unrest. They could be an uprising if things don't go right. But ladies and gentlemen, so far that ain't had to happen, because everything that the New World Order has done, the dumb sheep bow down and get to it. We've been so conditioned. Our children has been conditioned 40 to 50 years of this, of conditioning to accept that we're one people, and we're not. We came over here independent. Our founding fathers and those that came here was from the white Western European countries abroad, coming here to seek independence, and that's what we thought we got. But there's a worldwide impact of deceit and deception mentioned here. And the beast that I saw, he had great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. That's interesting. I won't comment more on that right now at that present time. But, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to come someone on the scene that is going to have such great power and authority, worldwide authority, the whole world wondered after the beast. Remember that now. This is the fourth kingdom beast that I'm speaking about in, if you will, coded language. And I hope that you of understanding can understand with the liberties that I have to take and some of the liberties I can't take to write this out for you. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given in him to continue 42 months. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Ladies and gentlemen, right in the midst of this, I see the greatest danger in years for the possibility now. Now, this is for the possibility of the descendants of Jacob. These are the saints that the Bible's talking about, from the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad, mentioned in James chapter 1, verse 1. Mentioned by the Messiah to go only to the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. Mentioned in 15:24 of Matthew to go only to the lost sheep. And so this message of going only is to an ethnos, to a certain people, and yet the beast power is coming in, and you've seen a fine prime demonstration of that today in Washington, D.C., when we had a multitude of people saying that we were all one. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that when you speak against that, it's just like pouring water on the emotional fires of everybody being stirred up to believe that we're one, and we've been made to believe that, and that is the greatest danger to our nation. When we cease from being the children of Yahweh and become the children of the world, we become the children of the devil. And when you can't tell the difference between somebody from the local bar or somebody from the law offices of Washington, D.C., and from the politicians that have become preachers, and somebody down on the regular church house corner with a steeple on it, when you can't see any difference in those type of people, they're all one. And when they miscegenate together, when they go against the laws and the principles of the doctrine of the Bible, you know that it's a time of trouble spoken of Christ. And when you see this abomination ascend to the platform, you'll know that the time is now. And all that dwell upon the earth, verse 8, let me hurry along, I'm not going to get over this tonight. And they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Verse 10. He that leadeth, here's the key. Now, I mentioned the concentration camps in America. America is filled with the largest contingent plan of dealing with social unrest. We have a contingency plan. And these prisons are empty standing today, but they're staffed. And they're paid for out of an enormous budget. Has to be black ops because it's not accounted for in the public domain. In other words, the public doesn't have access to where all this black op money is coming from. Well, I've got a suggestion. Enter the drug trade, the drug cartel. Look at the borders, the openness of the borders. We got a lot of money by somebody being peddling, and America has become a drug crazed nation of individuals to where it's almost dangerous to get on the highway. You never know where you're going to have a drive by shooting, or some nut out of joyriding still in a car and dancing to a 50 cent piece going down the road. I mean, our heroes and the things that we're entertaining ourselves with and the people that we're looking up to is an abomination to our Creator. And ladies and gentlemen, a sinful nation must pay for its sin. America, we're going to have to pay. And yet, let me tell you who's going to pay. It's not the wicked. The wicked are going to prosper, and they're going to cast the truth to the ground. And as Ezekiel's prophecy said in Ezekiel chapter 26, that Tyre, which is here in America, would be attacked by many nations. And that Tyre's stones and timber and soil would be cast into the sea. Prophecy of the 26th chapter of Ezekiel. That the Phoenician Tyre would never be found again. And it would never be rebuilt. We could face permanent destruction here by just one foolish move. And the latest prophecy is that Obama would declare war on Iran 30 days after he takes office. She prophesied, I'm not saying that her prophecy is going to be true, because most of these prophecies are not, and you can't put much value in it, but I do know this for a fact, that anybody that assumes headship in America is over the most powerful army, and that there is an element within our own government that needs a third world war, and the international bankers are the only ones that profit from war. It is the bankers. That's been proven in the first two that we had. It was the international bankers that made a windfall profit. Ladies and gentlemen, we are near that time. Isaiah's prophecies. Let's look at some of the prophecies of Isaiah. And it is very, very prophetic. Isaiah's my favorite prophet, by the way. To read about. In Isaiah 49, Isaiah prophesied a salvation would reach to Yahweh's people that were scattered into the earth. And here now, coming on the scene in the last 20 years or so, is the prophets of Yahweh. You've had the prophets of Jesus like foxes on the desert. And all they did was gather the people up in the stone masonry buildings and play the New World Order game and become 501(c)(3) adapted to be tools and instruments of the government. And they have such marvelous ways of making you think it's patriotic. I mean, after we invaded Iraq, we waved the flag. I got so sick of seeing so many flags by these deceived people that were sponsoring or agreeing with this assault upon the seed of Ishmael, the Arabs, and all they had over there was oil, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't we just buy it and pay for it like everybody else does? No, we decided to go get it. Well, we got in a quagmire. And I prophesied in 1994 that we would have blood flowing in the sand. And tonight it's still flowing there. We're not out yet. And it's cost literally billions of dollars. It's what's got America and George Bush in trouble. Oh yes, they're going to hound Mr. Bush tomorrow's his last day at noon tomorrow. He's no longer going to get the blame for this. The blame will be upon the shoulders of the man that comes in, and he has to take responsibility for all of this, because they're all eating out of the same trough. The New World Order takes its instructions, the government of the United States takes its instructions, not from the people. The people are deceived. But they take it from a controlled mind-conditioning New World Order to accept anything that they do as okay. The Bible said that there'll even come a time that they will hate the true Christians, if I can use that word, and I use it sparingly, but I'm talking about the true anointed,
the disciples of the Messiah. When this war comes, when it's going to be against them, they're going to assault the dissenters of this new world order that will not go along with what they're saying and doing, and they've got a place prepared. And in these concentration camps, the wire is turned in to keep the prisoners in as opposed to keeping somebody out. And they're going to be filled. They're not going to build these, as the old saying goes, when you build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to your door. When you build enough prisons, concentration camps, they're going to eventually be filled with people that don't agree with what the government's doing. And there you have it. The prophecies of Daniel are foretold that there would come a time. Now, notice that. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that leads into captivity. There it is. Verse 10. He that leads all of these people that want what's right into captivity. The concentration camps. They're slaves in their mind. The ones that don't go to the concentration camp are the ones that's been brainwashed. But the people that know Yahweh, the Bible said, Daniel said in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel and the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, which I'm not going to get into tonight. I won't have time to cover that as I just barely got out of the second chapter here. And in the 13th chapter of Revelation to prepare that the United States is the nation that's written in a Bible. Now, to conclude, let me get over here. Notice this. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell upon the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. What's an image? Pattern your mind after the image of a controlled government world power. We all speak the same thing. We all say the same thing. And Mr. Kissinger said on the stock exchange floor 2 weeks ago, the direct quote that, and of course Mr. Kissinger is a CFR man, a New World Order man, has been, and he don't make no secret bones about it, that he belongs to the New World Order. And he said that Mr. Obama has the best chance of anyone he's seen lately come on the world scene to bring in that New World Order. Spoken of a George Bush senior, junior, spoken of by Bill Clinton, spoken of by all of these people that have converged upon Washington, D.C. to run the government behind the scenes. Mr. Obama will just be doing what the New World Order tells him to do, ladies and gentlemen, and he can't do any more or any less. And if he does any less, they'll kill him. And heaven forbid that happens. We don't want that to happen. Because it will be blamed on the white supremacists or some white nut. And, you know, just like they killed Mr. King and blamed it on James Earl Ray, and James Earl Ray swore to his grave that he didn't pull the trigger. Just like the Kennedy assassination. Oh man, there's more questions. See, all this comes just like the 9/11 event, the World Trade Tower centers. Like they said that a plane flew into the Pentagon. That's been disputed. And it looked like that the World Trade Tower centers, and it's conclusive evidence, and it's ladies and gentlemen, it's not even funny, but the masses of people believe that we were attacked by the camel jockeys and the Arabs, that they somehow that they had managed to hijack airplanes, and they had enough skill that even trained pilots couldn't fly into the World Trade Tower centers in a plane that they did that in precision. These were remote control guided, and the buildings were wired to explode. It's simple. The nation formed a patriotic excuse for going into the Middle East for the oil. That's as much as I can say about that. Well, I've got to get out of here. My time is coming on. You're listening to the Shepherd's Calling, Pastor. But in the process of Daniel, boy, how they are now coming to the forefront, and the people need to take notice. Well, you can hear me next Sunday night live on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Joel South. I'll be in there tomorrow, Sunday night, with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central. I'll be right back here next Monday night on WWRB Freepoint 185, Clear Channel around the world tonight. And I'll be in here at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 8 Central. And mark it down on your calendar, and we'll be back with another program on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. If you'd like to write me, simply address your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. If you'd like to call me on live tonight, right here around the world on Clear Channel, WWRB 3.185, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you next Sunday night with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Until then, Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh take a blessing to you. I'll see you on down the line.
Atlas burst the death of all two arms in Dixie. Though all the beacon fires are lighted, and all the hearts be now united. Two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hurrah, hurrah. For Dixie's land we take our stand, and may we die for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Two arms, and conquer peace for Dixie. Oh, hear the northern thunder mutter, northern flags and south winds sputter. Two arms.